Hi, welcome to Journey of the Monkey King. That was not my cat. That was MJ.
I was talking to the cat.
I have headphones on. She absolutely cannot hear you.
Okay.
Sorry.
I also know that's not how you talk to cats. You do it with blinking and with like kind of a kind of thing.
And don't forget
and
the classic.
And body language.
Fun etymology fact. This is not like a definite thing, but as I understand, it is a legitimately seriously considered etymological theory that the root origin of the word pussy is people going ps, 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 to attract cats.
That's adorable. It's so adorable. If you look at them and blink slowly, like look them in the eye and blink slowly, you're kind of saying, hello, I am a safe person, but also I respect you. And just leave your hand out for them to sniff.
Yeah.
And also don't touch their bellies because that's not them going, hello, I would like scritches. It's them going, okay, you do seem like a safe person and you do respect me. I am going to show vulnerability by showing you where my organs are. So that we know we're cool, and then you go, and from their perspective, you're going, "Oh, cool, your organs," and just like dive bombing them. So it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of their trust. I was very unemployed for a little while back in 2014.
If I pet a sog in the stomach, what she does generally is like grab my hand, claws out, drag it towards her mouth. Nib on it once and then start licking my hand, which I feel is a very mixed signal.
She's saying, I like you, but bitch, don't fuck with me. That's what she's saying. And you're not respecting her. You're not respecting your cat.
I do not generally pet her in the stomach, but you know, sometimes my hand goes the wrong way. And this happens.
I don't think I can look at you the same way again, is all I'm saying.
Also, I wanted just like shout out this episode. Libraries are great. I love fucking libraries. My local library, it has a lot of books. You might not know this about libraries, they have a lot of books, but
usually,
also it has a 3D printer.
Oh yeah,
that's just entirely free to use, as long as you don't take the piss. There's like a their policy is like you can only use it once a week and don't do something that takes like 20 hours to print. But it's completely free, and I have sleep apnea, and I have a CPAP machine. I can't remember what that stands for, but it's a machine that helps me breathe at night, basically. And one of the clips to hold the mask to my face snapped. It's just a little plastic clip, but it's like a strap, and it'll hook on the end. And I chew together a little replacement design for the one that snapped in CAD, and put the design on an SD card, brought to my library, and printed a replacement, and I didn't have to spend a bunch of money buying a new mask.
We freaking love libraries. That's very, very, very cool.
And shout out to librarians as well. And this is just thanks, Janet, because Janet's also a librarian in general.
Janet O'Keefe's a librarian?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that about Janet. That's amazing.
Anyway.
When does it stop being a podcast and just start being us talking, having a very one-sided conversation with Janet? We love you.
We're pioneering highly targeted parasocial relationships.
Librarians should not have to do as much work as they end up doing. There should be more services for people. But yes, we appreciate you, both librarians as a collective and also Janet specifically.
Okay, so actual podcast, Journey to the West, chapter 58. So, as you recall, Tripitaka got beat up by Sun Wukong, luggage got stolen, Wu Jing went to investigate, Wukong was at the Flower Fruit Mountain, and he was setting up his own pilgrimage with blackjack and hookers. Then Wu Jing went to Guanyin to tell on Wukong, and Guanyin was like, well, Wukong's been here the entire time. So she sends Wukong and Wu Jing together to go investigate the Flower Fruit Mountain. And Wukong is a lot faster than Wu Jing. And he tries to rush ahead, but Wu Jing thinks he's trying to like go ahead so he can hide his tracks. So he tells him, hold on, no, we're sticking together. And Wukong does. He does stick with Wu Jing.
I mean, that it's fair. It's a fair criticism. And, you know, we are dealing with someone who can create a new him from his hair. And I am suspicious, Quiva.
That's reasonable.
Russ, no bitch, ass monkey.
Especially king. If they can clone themselves. So when they arrive at the Flower Fruit Mountain, they see a second Wukong there, partying with all the monkeys. And Wukong's reaction to this is immediate. He is pissed off and he demands to know who this imposter is. And the other Wukong, rather than responding, just attacks him. And so they start fighting iron rod to iron rod. They look exactly the same as each other. They're perfectly evenly matched. And Wu Jing just lets them fight for one thing. As soon as they start fighting, he loses track of the Wukong he came here with, and he doesn't know which is which. And he decides to look for the luggage instead, but he can't find it anywhere. And he doesn't know that the entrance to the cave that the monkeys live in is hidden behind the waterfall, so he doesn't have a clue where to look. If only he had ever played any video game, he would have known to look behind the waterfall.
You know, that's the trouble with being Dynasty China. No video games.
Well, technically it's set in Tang Dynasty.
That's the problem with Tang Dynasty China. Even less video games.
Yeah, true.
Well, not really. But yeah, well, we know.
Yeah, whatever. So eventually, both Wukongs they both say the exact same thing to Wu Jing, which is, if you can't tell the two of them apart, go and tell their master what's going on. And Wukong is going to fight the other Wukong to the Potalaka Mountain so that Guanyin can tell them apart.
And how shall she do that?
So they do that. And I'm just imagining like a cartoon dust cloud with fists flying, traveling across the ocean, to be honest.
Whoosh.
And they present themselves to Guanyin to decide which Wukong is the real Wukong. And she cannot tell them apart at all. So she decides as a test to recite the Tight Fillet spell and see which one it affects. But as soon as she recites it, both of them simultaneously grab their head in pain and start screaming. So she stops and they start fighting again. And she doesn't really have any other ideas for how to tell them apart. So she tells them just to go to heaven and get it sorted out there. Surely someone there will be able to figure it out.
They know this case has been escalated to the team lead.
Yeah. I mean, he lived there for a good while. Like, they know him up there, so.
Just put, well, they'll probably see who steals more when left unattended, and the one who does is Wukong.
Yeah, so they fight their way into the Jade Emperor's Hall and ask for him to point out the real Wukong. And they're both doing this. They're both like saying the exact same thing. They're both claiming to be the real Wukong and going, you know, you should sort us out.
I don't know. After everything that happened, if I was the Jade Emperor, I'd just shoot one at random and not care which. I don't care who started it. I don't care. I'm just not dealing with two of you.
That's entirely reasonable. But what he does do is he tells Devaraja Lee to get the imp reflecting mirror, which has shown up a couple times, and check their reflection in that, because it should like reveal the true form, but it actually doesn't. The reflections look identical as well. The imp reflecting mirror is useless. So Jade Emperor is out of ideas, so he just orders them thrown out. So they decide to go see Tripitaka next. And Wu Jing, at this point, has already arrived and explained the situation a bit to Tripitaka and Baji. And then the Wukongs arrive, and Wu Jing suggests using the Tight Fillet spell to tell them apart, not knowing that Guan Yin already tried this. And it's not any more effective this time at telling them apart. It's still effective. It's not any effective at telling them apart.
Yeah.
So next on their tour, they decide to go ask King Yama in the underworld. And when they leave, Baji asks Wu Jing why he didn't bring back the luggage from the Flower Fruit Mountain. And Wu Jing tells him he couldn't find the entrance to the cave. And Baji says when he was there before with Wukong, he saw Wukong diving through the waterfall. So he figures that must be where it is.
And even a stupid clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, and he volunteers to go get everything. So meanwhile, in the region of darkness down below, King Qin Guang of the First Chamber is terrified at the arrival of not just Sun Wukong, but two fucking Sun Wukongs, and summons the other nine kings of darkness for help. The two Wukongs explain what's going on, and I've been leaving it out, but like every single time they go to another character to ask for this, they recap the entire plot of this like last two chapters entirely every time, including mentioning every previous character they've already asked. I'm leaving all that out for you, streamlining this.
Okay. I appreciate you.
So the Kings of Darkness try to check all their registers to see if they can figure out anything about the fake Wukong, but like there's no, you know, there's nothing written in the record books of the dead under the name fake Wukong or anything. So not really sure what to do. And they try and look at the records for monkeys. But Wukong kind of destroyed a lot of those records about a few hundred years ago. 130 apparently of like the records for the monkeys were just completely ruined, and they haven't really been keeping new monkey records properly since then. So they don't have anything. And the Bodhisattva Kishiti Garba has another idea. He's going to ask someone called or something called investigative hearing.
Investigative what?
Yeah. So here is verbatim. Investigative hearing, you see, happens to be a beast that usually lies beneath the desk of Kshiti Garba. I'm so sorry about pronunciations, as always. He crouches when he crouches on the ground. He can, in an instant, perceive the true and the false, the virtuous and the wicked, among all short-haired creatures, scaly creatures, hairy creatures, winged creatures, and crawling creatures, and among all the celestial immortals, the earthly immortals, the divine immortals, the human immortals, and the spirit immortals resident in all the cave heavens and blessed lands in the various shrines, rivers, and mountains of the four great continents. So investigative hearing checks, but refuses to identify the imposter or say who he really is because he's afraid he'll lash out and wreck the gaff, and they, you know, they just don't want that shit.
Yeah, no drama.
Not again. So the imposter is just as far powerful as Wukong. And so they suggest, or investigative hearing suggests, going to Buddha instead. So once again, they're going right to the top. They're going to Buddha for help. The two Wukongs barge in the middle of one of Buddha's lectures, and he gives the crowd a lesson with Wukong as an example and kind of spells out the message of the chapter. He says, "You are all of one mind, but take a look at two minds in competition and strife arriving here." And there's like in the poetry of the novel throughout it, Wukong is referred to as the mind or mind monkey, and is like embodiment of the mind, I guess. And so you've the mind in conflict here. That's bad. And Buddha's going to sort them out.
Okay.
So Buddha knows which Wukong is the faker straight away. But before he can say anything, Guan Yin shows up to ask him for help with this too. But then Buddha has it sorted out. So he explains. There are five kinds of immortals in the universe, and they are the celestial, the earthbound, the divine, the human, and the ghostly. There are also five kinds of creatures, and they are the short-haired, the scaly, the hairy, the winged, and the crawling. This fellow is not celestial, earthbound, divine, human, or ghostly, nor is he short-haired, scaly, hairy, winged, or crawling. But there are...
He's a ghost.
No, he says it's not ghostly. Specifically said it's not ghostly.
Okay. Not ghostly.
There are, however, four kinds of monkeys which do not belong to any of these 10 species. Therefore...
A secret...
Yeah.
Ape thing.
So the four kinds of special non-species monkeys are the intelligent stone monkey, which is presumably Wukong.
Yeah.
The red buttocked baboon. The bare-armed gibbon, and the sixth-eared macaque.
The sixth-eared what?
Sixth, not six, sixth.
Sixth.
Yeah, it's according to a footnote, a like reference to a kind of Buddhist saying. The Dharma is not intended to be transmitted to the sixth ear. The sixth ear being like the, as in like the third pair of ears or the third person. Anthony Yu doesn't really explain the idiom further than that, so I couldn't tell you exactly what it's meant to mean, but I guess, I don't know. Don't be telling the wrong people about Buddhism. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gaslight, gatekeep.
Gibbon.
Gibbon. So it's the sixth-eared macaque.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, so the fake Wukong is... Wukong is being impersonated by the sixth-eared macaque, and as soon as Buddha identifies the... Did you say Wukong?
I said Wukong, as in Wukong and then not, but I thought the second it came out of my mouth, I realized that it was Wukong that I had said.
You were also breaking up slightly.
Interwebs are difficult to untangle.
As soon as Buddha finally identifies the imposter, he panics and he tries to flee. But Buddha orders everyone to block him. The macaque turns into a bee and tries to slip away, but Buddha captures him in a golden alms bowl. And when he lifts the bull off the macaque, is back to his original form. Wukong immediately smashes it over the head and kills it, rendering this type of monkey completely extinct.
Yay. No.
Yay.
Pour one out for the sixth year macaque.
Yeah.
Where did he even come from? Why was he here? We'll never know. The fucker's dead now.
Yeah, that's it. Rip.
What was the motivation? What?
My only guess is that he was being honest when he just said he wanted the kind of praise of doing the pilgrimage.
Maybe. Or, I mean, I guess a little bit of a getting a kingdom to yourself. That's a pretty sweet deal. How did he know, though? Is there like a monkey? Yeah, never mind.
Oh, yeah, there. I did leave out a detail. There is like, so Buddha says, for even if this monkey stands in one place, he can possess the knowledge of events 1,000 miles away and whatever a man can say in that distance. So he could spy on everything from 1,000 miles away.
Smart.
But he's dead now, so whatever.
Yeah.
Wukong just murdered this guy, and Buddha shouts my goodness in dismay, and Wukong immediately tries to tell fucking Buddha himself, you should not have compassion for him. He was guilty of assault and robbery. He should have been executed. It's fine. And Buddha just tells him to go back to the Tong monk and continue the pilgrimage.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call, Buddha. Good call.
So Wukong says Tripitaka won't want him back anyway. And, you know, he does his usual kind of trying to talk. He tries to talk people into this. I don't know. He's tried to talk Guanyin into it like twice, I think. He's just like, you know, oh, well, he doesn't want me back. You might as well just take this fillet off my head and I'll go home and just be fine.
Right. Oh, yeah, cool. We'll just we'll send you back to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you insist. Sorry, it didn't work out. Let's put you back into the numinous, what was it called again?
Brazier.
Yes.
You're never going to let me live that down, are you?
No.
But
lightning brass.
Yeah. Buddha just asked Guanyin to go back with Wukong and just tell Tripitaka to take him back.
Yeah.
He will just do whatever Guanyin says.
And no shit.
Yeah. So they all reunite. Tripitaka takes Wukong back and Baji arrives back with the luggage and they are on the road again. One happy, maybe, family.
Yeah, I can see there being some drama here.
Maybe not ecstatic family.
Staying together for the pilgrimage.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're all going to have some motivation to speed up.
So in the next chapter is called Tripitaka Tong's Path is Blocked at Mountain of Flames. Pilgrim Son Baits for the First Time the Palm Leaf Fan. So we have a mountain of flames to look forward to.
Yay!
That's my favorite type of mountain, personally.
Everything's better when it's on fire. Yep. There's one thing you can take away from the time you've spent with us. I want it to be that.
Wise words. So, yeah, listen into the next episode, unless you want to set your phone on fire. In the meantime, understandably.